$100 quiz again tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. When you're in trouble, can't find your way, just look to Jesus, say hallelujah.
Back home, I tell you, when you've been in one of these quiet churches, you can really appreciate it. Everybody's turning to look at me and Sister John down there, but we told Brother Bound that if we ever got him up there, we was going to try to push him to death. I'm so tired and so weary. But I must go along till the Lord shall come to call me away. Oh, yeah, there will be
She was chewing on my ear today and said, "All right, Buster, if we're going to be in this evangelistic work full time, then I'm going to have some clothes to wear." All right, so then she can go on a shopping spree, I guess. Praise the Lord. We're really glad to be here. We've had a good time. We are having a good time. Blessings of the Lord have been rich, very rich, and I have been very, very privileged to be your Youth Week speaker. I count it a privilege, and I really am honored that above all the others that you could get a hold of me and have me come, and I have been blessed myself. I'm like Brother Wilson. I don't know if anybody else has got anything out of it, but I have been blessed. So the hand of the Lord has been with us and on us. And I felt his touch, praise the Lord. It's been requested I sing this, and it's been requested that we sing, so get ready and we'll try. It's been requested that I sing this song, and this is an old, old song, and my granddad wrote it, and I can't sing it like he does, but I'll do the best I can to sing if we have but one. If we had but one day to work and play, we would idle no moment away. Battered often, so sweet, we were great to defeat. If we had but one day. Now if we had but one day, we'll be good at this time. How much goodness in everyone we would find. And our human failures we never would mind. If we had but one day. Well, if we had but one day to work and play, we would have no moment away. Starting off in so sweet, we were great. If we had but one day. Now if we had but one day, we'd be good and be true. Our goodness would fall like the bright morning dew. And our friendship with Jesus we'd quickly renew. If we had but one day. Well, if we had but one day to work and to pray, we would idle no moment away. But it often so sweet, we make all things right. Our work would we finish ere the shadow of night, and our coming together a wonderful sight. If we had but one day, well, if we had but one day, we would either go slowly away. But we would bring the deep speech if we had but one day. My granddad wrote this song about 1924 or 25, and he was in a revival. So the story's been told to me. And he, every night he would come to the service, he'd add a verse to it. That's why it's got so many verses. And they were having a hard time. Things haven't changed a whole lot in some of these ways. They were having a hard time getting folks to come to service all the time. They were traveling in, you know. He said that one night they got up and sang when the saints come dragging in. And he said they were just as traveling in, seemed like by the time the preaching would start, they'd finally all be there. He said one old fella that went to the church was an elderly gentleman. He'd been a railroad man. He had one of those great big old railroad pocket watches on a great big long chain. And said he'd stand up in the front of the church during song service. Whenever the door would squeak and somebody would try to slip in, he'd stand up in the middle of the aisle and swing that watch like this, so that everybody could get the message. So he said he'd come up to Grandpa one night after church and said, "Brother Tagle, I wish you'd make another verse of that song about folks getting to church on time and see if you can't just drive the point home that way." So Grandpa said he went home and prayed about it, and this is what he come up with. If the saints of today want to be caught away, they'd better get in to service on time. For the Lord will soon come for the most faithful one. He'll be leaving all the others behind. And if we had but one day to understand the place, we would idle no moment away. A thought and offering so sweet, we would pray to Jesus speak. If we had but one day, well, if we had but one day to play, we would idle no moment away. Oh, so sweet, we would pray if we had but one day. Praise the Lord. Mr. Mary D, if you come, we'll even let you testify tonight.
Well, we'll check it out after that. I better check it out and say it. Mary D, that's what it says. All right.
Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thank you very much for that. We've really enjoyed ourselves this week, and I don't know what I've done if it hadn't been for this revival, because things are getting me, I was kind of low and depressed, but the Lord knows just what we need when we need it, don't we? And I'm thankful that He does. I love Him tonight and thankful for all His goodness to me.
Praise the Lord. 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 You worship the Lord as we sing. I
have to do with
you,
and that is
what I know. My joy with you I share. I'm gonna take a trip in the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Well, I'm gonna take a trip
in the good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm gonna shout and sing until heaven's ring, when I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely
wait. I know I'm not too
late. My time is fresh, and when my ship comes in, I will leave
for and no day.
In the good old gospel, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring when I'm leaving this world goodbye.
If you sing the thing, you'll have no
call to me for the Christ. I am a slave. It's not
back there, and we bring the mind to the faith. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Praise the Lord. I like what I feel in my soul. Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk to you just for a little while from the book of Acts, second chapter. What I feel that the Lord has given us for this evening. And once again, we want to say that we are thankful for all the blessings of the Lord and for you, our fine friends here. Bring Sister Rutledge has become so hospitable to us, and this church, of course, has a special place in our hearts because I stood up here on this platform one day and said, "I do," and I've been saying it ever since. Praise the Lord. And so, young people, we talk to you every night to my heart and what we feel that the Lord is for us. And once again, we look to the Word of the Lord. Acts 2 and 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Verse 13. And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, verse 15, "These are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken out by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, saith God, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon the handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy."
Praise God.
Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And thank the Lord for His word tonight. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. Recently, there has been a trend in this world that everyone seems to be falling into, and that is tracing your roots back, digging up all the old family records and trying to find out a little bit more about the family, where they came from, and who your ancestors are. Some people are very proud. They have in their home plaques on the wall with the coat of arms and telling what their family name means, and maybe even important individuals that have been in their family in years gone by. When this trend, started out, I got excited about it and thought I'd trace our family. My granddad said, "No, don't do that. Leave well enough alone." He said, "You might not be proud of what you see if you go tracing. said, well, I think we're pretty good. He said, no. He said, I can tell you how far back you want to go. I'll tell you. I said, well, how about your daddy? He said he was a bootlegger. I said, what? Yes, sir. He ran a steel up there in the hills of Alabama and said he made the finest moonshine in all the country. He said, I want you to know something. Folks drove for miles around to get a jug of that stuff. He had 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls, and those 7 boys were stationed in trees all in those woods to watch for the revenue. I said, how about his daddy? He was a horse thief. How about his daddy? Mississippi gambler. I said, well, believe I'll leave well enough alone. So I decided to think there was no future in tracing my natural route. I would try tracing my spiritual route. So I got into the Word of God, and of course everybody knows that if you really want to get down to the root, spiritually, you've got to dig down to the book of Acts. Because that's where the church got its beginning. Regardless of what the name is on the outside of the building, the beginning was started in the book of Acts when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And they were all with one accord in one place. That's where they all began. Amen. So I started digging. I got, and the more I dug, it sounded like chewing on a piece of jerky. The bigger it got. It kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and more glorious all the time. I realized suddenly that I've been all sorts of that too. Really, I was so rich spiritually speaking, and I had such a family spiritually speaking, and so much wealth in the closet that I really didn't realize until I got in there and began to trace my spiritual roots. I realized what a blessed person I am to be in the family of God. I don't have any statesmen, congressmen, presidents in my family. We didn't have any doctors or bankers or lawyers in our family. We didn't have anybody that made a mark in history so that we can say, well, you know who invented electricity? That was my great-great-uncle or something like that. But so, friend, I had to trace my spiritual roots. But when I got to tracing back into my spiritual roots, I realized the vast storehouse that was open to me, a supply of God's Spirit and God's love and God's power and God's blessing and His healing touch. When I start talking about my family now, I'm talking about my spiritual family, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. What they mean to me. See you. This is everything, folks. What we're doing tonight, worshiping and praising the Lord, what we've been doing here for the last few nights, and what we've been doing for several years, trying to help people to realize that this is really where it's at. This is really what it's all about. We've already told you, but it bears repeating. The natural things will pass away. The spiritual things are the only things that will last in eternity. And if you really want to check into something that's exciting and something that's thrilling and something that will be a real experience for you, get to digging in the book of Acts and find out where you came from and who you are and where your head is.
None of these fellas have started off into all this other stuff. They've got all these different kinds of doctrines going, and they got all these different kinds of things going on, and I'll tell you what, I'm just like your pastor. I believe that we need to make up our mind. We're going to stick with the basics, and we're going to stick with them until we know who we are. And we're going to get back in there and dig and remember where we came from and where we're headed and what we have or what we're supposed to have. You see, it was Moses who instructed the children of Israel prior to the time that they were going to go into Canaan. He said to them, "There'll come a day when you'll be in houses that you didn't build, and you'll be in cities that you didn't plan or construct. There'll come a day when you'll be eating from vineyards and trees that you didn't plant, and you'll be drinking from wells that you didn't dig. Those are the times when you need to remember who the Lord is and where your help came from. Young people, those are the times when you need to start tracing your roots back and find out where this thing got its beginning and how it was built on the rock and what their doctrine was and how they worshiped and what it was that kept them together. And what it was that they possessed to have the move of God and spiritual revival that they had in those days." Amen. There was a key. There was a key to it. I'm thankful for my spiritual heritage. Many of you have heard me tell it. I have a spiritual heritage. My family has been in the Pentecostal work for several years. I found out last night that Brother Rutledge is pretty near related to us, spiritually speaking. The man that baptized him got the Holy Ghost under, a man that got the Holy Ghost under my granddad's ministry. And I'm telling you, this thing just keeps a snowballing. It's like a snowball rolling down a hill. And it always thrills me, wherever we go and people that we talk to see ones that are still going on for the Lord. If it sounds like I'm boasting and I have been accused of it, well, that's just exactly what I'm doing. As the psalmist David said, "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." I'm glad to know that in my background and in my heritage, things are there that help to build me and shape me into what I am now. Things that are always on the mind, Brother Jackson. Things that are always in my heart. Things that I must live up to, else my generation should fall short of the ones that have come before me. My friend, I want you to know that those apostles in the early church hazarded their lives for the gospel of Christ. Read it. It's in there. I want you to know that the early pioneers that blazed this apostolic trail so that we can worship like we're worshiping tonight hazarded their lives so that we can worship and feel what we're feeling in this service tonight. And you need to be tracing these roots back. One person I would admonish you any time you ever have a chance to get a book about one of our early pioneers, you need to trace that down and read through a couple times. It'll thrill you. It'll really thrill you when you realize that it hasn't always been like it is right now. Amen. Some of the stories that I could tell that have been related to me, while the rest of y'all might have been listening to the three little pigs and going off from the three bears. Well, I was hearing the stories about the old time days, in the early days of Pentecost, and how they would set up the brush arbors out of the country. In one particular meeting, they set up a brush arbor down in Tennessee, around Dyersburg, New Bern, and Cool Springs, down in that area, where my granddad was holding a revival, and some hungry boys thought that they would pull a sly trick on them and planted a rattlesnake right up in the eaves there of that brush arbor so that he'd just poke his old ugly head down through the corner of that and lick his tongue out of it. So when my granddad got to church, they was all standing around there just, oh, they were afraid to go underneath the arbor there to worship. Do you know what he did? He said, "The power of the Holy Ghost come on him." Just like he was about to be anointed to preach, but he said he wasn't anointed to preach. He said he reached up there and grabbed that snake by the head and twisted it around and around till he twisted his head off. Just like bringing a chicken's neck. He said he tossed it over in the bushes and went in singing victory ahead. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
all of that story. But I just want you to know that these are some things in our background. You know, some things that are back there that we need to talk about once in a while so that we'll never let them slip from us.
So Moses said, when you get into the land of milk and honey, when you get into the promised land, you're sitting on padded pews and you're walking on beautiful carpet and you've got air conditioning in the summertime and heating in the wintertime, beware and make sure that you don't forget how it used to be. Men that have hazarded their lives so that we can feel what we're feeling. He said one night he went down there to baptize one day, went down to the brink of the water to baptize, and this young lady said, I'd like to be baptized, but my husband don't want me to. He said he's going to shoot you. My grandpa said, let him shoot. I'd love to give my heart and my life for the gospel and be a martyr just like old Stephen. He said, I never really realized that the man meant business until he stepped down into the water, and there on the bluff was a fellow with a shotgun pointed right down at me. He said, well, I asked her, you still want to be baptized? She said, yes, sir. He said, well, come on. So they said they stepped out into the water, and that guy pulled back. And he said, every eye was on the bluff. Until he said, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I pushed her under it and shut my eyes. And he said, I listened and I didn't hear no report. So I knew I hadn't been hit. He said, I looked up and there was nobody on the bluff. And somebody was charging through the water like this. And he said, I looked over at him. And he said, it was that nut that had the gun up there on the bluff. Said, preacher, would you baptize me in Jesus' name? And he said, I did. And when I did, he came up out of the water speaking in an unknown tongue. Hallelujah. I'm talking about some things that are in our spiritual heritage that we need to dig up and remember and place some of these apostolic roots back. My friend, I want you to know that the power of the Holy Ghost is just as real today as it was then. That the blessings of God are just as real today as they were then. And I want to always hold on to that and cherish that and never forget who I am and who I belong to and where I'm headed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Gone by, and then there's been some of the old timers that have related stories to him that he knows of. If you're interested in things like this, if this kind of stuff excites you and you'd like to hear more about it, get around here to some of these and talk to them. I want you to know there's a vast storehouse of wealth that we haven't even tapped into in some of these things that we're taking for granted every day. The reason you feel like that is because of your family. Well, maybe that's partly true. Maybe I'm more aware of it. But I want to know what's wrong with young people that aren't interested in knowing about the early days of this church. I want to know what's wrong with young people that aren't interested in knowing about how things used to be years ago. I want to know what's wrong with young people in some of these other churches. They'd have been better off if somebody would have told them. And I'm not one to mention any names, but I will mention this one name because our family used to belong to them. And that's the Methodist Church. They used to shout just like Pentecostal people do. My folks said they've seen them shout their bonnets off, shout the hairpins out of their hair. And they always talked about old Uncle Henry said every time they had a good service, he had a stroke. And really what the trouble was he was slain under the power of God and spoke in tongues. And they thought he was having a stroke or a spell of some kind. They didn't understand it. But you see what they did? They never held on to those things, and they never traced them, and they never stayed with them, and they never searched, and they never dug, and they never became interested, and their curiosity was never stirred. They just let those things slip by until a generation raised up that don't even know, I'll guarantee you, they don't even know things like that went on in their church. They don't know where they come from. They don't know where they're headed. They don't know who they are. My friend, tonight, it's time that we up in our mind, we're going to dig and we're going to trace this thing back to the beginning. And we're going to know that when we're finished, we know who we are and we know where we're headed and we know who our leader is and who the founder of this church built on the rock. Hallelujah. Where he was in the hospital when she had Kempy. So we went down to sign some papers, and they said, you're Protestant, Catholic, or Jewish? I said, none of them. They said, what do you mean? I said, I'm none of them. That's why I'm apostolic, Pentecostal. She said, A.P., can you help me out a little bit? So I helped her spell it out. She said, by the way, what is that? I said, well, that's what the early church was in the book of Acts. You see, I'm not a Catholic, and I'm not a Jew, and I'm not a Protestant either. Listen to me now. I hope I don't blow your theory of theological, hermeneutics, but I just want to tell you this. I'm not a Protestant either, because the word Protestant means those who protested the Catholic Church. And you see, the group that I'm hitched up with never were a part of the Catholic Church. And that they have branches off of this and branches off of that. But the group that I'm related to never were a branch off anything. They were part of the root. They're part of the root. Hallelujah. 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 Pentecostal. I'm almost ashamed to even say that anymore for all the different branches of that they've got, man. I want you to know this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last day, says God, I will pour out the Spirit on all flesh. That's the experience that I received. Not a branch off of anything, friend. My cousin, when he went into armed services, didn't even know the Lord. Didn't even claim to be anything. But he knew that his granddaddy was a Pentecostal preacher. So when they asked him what he was, he said, well, I don't really think we're any of them. I don't recognize any of them names. They said, well, what do you want to put down there? He said, you better put Pentecostal. So he said, if anything ever happens to me and they ship my body home, and my granddad saw anything else around my neck, he probably wouldn't even preach the funeral. I want you to know, friend, it's time we dig down and find our roots. I'm not so much for all these other things fellas are preaching now. They can preach stuff now and tickle your ears and you can leave, and 5 minutes after you left church, you shouldn't even remember what the text was. You can't even remember what they said. And you know them too. We'd had them come and we'd run the aisles and shouted and danced and talked in tongues while they were preaching, and I couldn't remember what message they preached right now if my life depended on it. You know why? Because all we did was tickle my ears and made me feel good just a little while. But I want you to know, if somebody gets down in the basement, starts digging up my roots, starts telling me where I came from, starts telling me who I am, telling me where I'm going, friend, that's something that stays with you, and you never leave it. You never get away from it. Amen, little people. Dig down in there. Find out who you are. Find out where you're going. Don't forget. Don't take it for granted.
Don't take it for granted. We've always had a good time. Don't take it for granted. It's always been this easy to sing and worship and pray. Let you know somebody raised a crowd. Somebody started a church way back almost 2,000 years ago so that we could feel what we're feeling tonight. Somebody gave their life for this glorious gospel. They boiled them in oil. They put spears through them. They drug them behind carts. They tarred and feathered them. They chopped their head off. They hung them upside down. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll find out that every one of the disciples were martyrs for this glorious gospel. They blazed a trail. Then we come down to the 20th century. We talk about men that we're familiar in names that are familiar to us. We begin to talk about those and the trail that they blazed right here in this very state where Pentecost was first poured out. Right around in this area, real close to here. That's in the early part of this century. I'm telling you, we're sitting on a gold mine, young people, of treasures that we don't know anything about. We're missing out if we don't get a little bit of curiosity and start trying to dig up some of our roots. I want you to know God is the same. He is just the same. And I'm not trying to live in the past by preaching a message like this. But I'm just trying to show you, young people, I'm trying to admonish you that there is a storehouse of wealth in things that we don't know anything about. Some things that we're not even aware of. People who have blazed a trail and things that have happened even in this word that we don't really understand and we don't realize it's there. Till somebody like your good pastor opens up your understanding to these things and teaches them and preaches them. That's why we need to be here every time the doors are open. That's why we need to be faithful to every service that there is. Because every time you are, you're finding out something more that you didn't understand or didn't realize before. And all the time this is going on, you're digging up another root that you didn't know. You're tracing it back. Well, I just about had it traced, but I found out it's going off around this direction. So I'm going to trace it back around this direction. You're always searching. Amen. 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 Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. It's a storehouse of wealth at our fingertips. Don't let it slip. Don't let it slide by. Don't let it pass away. Don't let these go out into eternity. And then us be left. And then our children, if the Lord should carry, comes along, we don't have anything to relate to them. We don't have anything to say to them. We don't have any story to share with them. We don't have anything because we never took the time. We never took the time. I'll say this in closing, and I thank you for listening to me and sharing my heart with you. I was always very, very serious about these kind of things. Because I always had the curiosity to know just how was this and how was that. Now, what was that date again and what was this? Because I was always interested about it. Maybe it's just a personal thing with me. I don't know. I trust that it'll catch in the hearts of others that are here tonight. But you see, if the Lord should carry, as we said the other night, as the brother that testified said, he just about took my message away from me. Y'all remember that. One of these days, it's going to be in our hands. There are different ones of us now that are starting to break into it, but one of these days, this other generation will pass away. This generation here will be the senior citizens. We will sit in the positions that they are in now. When that day comes, we will have a responsibility to these little ones. They'll be where you're at. Keep all rolling right along, part of the plan of God. responsibility then would be to us to share with them the things that we know and that we've experienced and that we've seen. How sad it would be if when that day comes, I never had the curiosity enough to trace any of that out. I never had the curiosity enough to ever know or to ever search. And I just let that slip. How sad it would be for that generation to be raised and for them to not know that there's a plan that we read to you tonight. The text that we read to you tonight, young people, by the way, I was tracing our roots back. I traced it right down to the tap root, which is the main root. Traced it right down to the beginning, where it all started. Other things that I have shared with you in the course of this message have been things that have progressed on and on. But I wonder, lest we should come to a time when all these things would slip. Moses said, when you get into the land where the milk and honey flows, in the houses that you didn't build and vineyards that you never ate from, beware of one thing, not the giants. Isn't it strange? He didn't say that, although there were giants there. He didn't say beware of the giants. Not the armies, even though there were armies and battles to fight, but he didn't say beware of the armies. Not the high-walled cities, yet there were high-walled cities there, but he didn't say to beware of those and the fortresses that were there. No, he said, beware, lest you forget. Lest you forget. Lest a generation should raise up that don't know anything about this. That don't understand anything about this. That don't know how to be saved. That don't know what it takes. That don't know about these things that we talked about tonight. The young people, I love you. And I'm a part of you. And we're going to determine in our heart tonight and make up our mind. We're never going to let these things slip. My name's not very well known in the world. But I want you to know something. My spiritual name is well known throughout all the world. There are very few countries in this world and very few people that have not heard Jesus. There are some, but very few. And I want you to know something. I intend to keep it that way. I intend to trace. I intend to keep a digging. I intend to keep it alive. I intend to keep it well. I intend to continue to share like I've done tonight with young people to make them aware of some things that maybe prior to this time they were not aware of, with the help and the grace of God, to always keep these things a living memorial before us. The blessing of God shall we stand. And I might interject this before I turn the service back to Brother Rutledge. The plan remains the same. The original plan of salvation remains the same. There's a lot of people that have distorted it and twisted it and turned it and changed it and revised it and renewed it and revamped it and tried to make it a lot of different things. They've sugarcoated it and they've whitewashed it and they've bejeweled it and they've decked it out with bright lights and flashing neon signs. They've dressed it up. They've danced it around. They've hoochie-cooed with it and did all kinds of lewd things and making it to look like the popular and all the... And then it was almost a fad for a while, but I want you to know the message remains the same. Part of the root. To repent and to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, still the plan. That's the root of the matter. God bless you, young people. Thank you for the invitation to come. We love you. We're praying for you. We're behind you 100%. Praise the Lord.
You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are of your year.
Who else?
The heartache.
Someone else come?
And rejoice.
Why not? Why not right now?
In this family,
if you're not happy, if you're not satisfied, if you're not ready, come right now. Come on, girls. How about young men that God's dealing with? You've been thinking seriously. Why not step out and give yourself to God tonight? Why not? Right now.
Yeah.